This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the Mountainside Grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Saint Josepha Rosello. Not all saints have beheld visions, heard voices, or performed miracles. Some have simply loved God and their fellow men, and dedicated their lives to the glory of one and the betterment of the other. Such a saint is Sister Mary Josepha, born Benedetta Rosello in the year 1811 in a small town on the western coast of Italy. As our story opens, Benedetta is 26 years of age, and her confessor is a Franciscan friar, Father Angelo.
Oh, tell them, Father, tell them they must take me. They'll listen to you. I can't make them listen to me, but they will listen to you. Please tell them to take me.
Now, Benedetta, now, my dear, it's hard for me to understand what you are saying when you cry
so.
Oh,
Father, they must take me. I'll be such a good nun. They'll not be sorry. Please tell them.
But they will not accept you at the convent. Is that it?
Because I have no dowry. I have no money at all. No possessions of any kind.
But now you have worked for the Monleones for 7 years, Benedetta. Have you saved nothing at all?
I sent it all to my parents.
All of it?
With 4 younger children to raise, my parents need every lira. Oh, Father Angelo, tell them at the convent that I must become a nun.
Now, Benedetta, can't we discuss this calmly? I've known you for a long time. We're good friends. Now, let us talk it over quietly, hmm?
Yes, Father, it's just that I want...
To become a nun. Yes, I know.
Can they refuse me simply because I can bring no dowry with me? Didn't St. Francis preach poverty above all else? In a narrow heart, God cannot bide. Where the love is great, the heart is wide. Poverty, great-hearted, dignified, entertains and welcomes deity.
Well, well.
Poverty has nothing in her hand, nothing craves, in sea or sky or land, but hath the universe at her command, dwelling in the heart of liberty.
I'd no idea you knew the writings of the Franciscans so well. But then you are a tertiary, aren't you?
I joined the Third Order when I was 16. Show me your cloister, asks the Lady Poverty of the friars. And they, leading her to the summit of a hill, showed her the whole world, saying, "This is our cloister, O Lady Poverty."
Benedetta, do I have to remind you that you are talking to a Capuchin friar? That I am one of those vowed to follow the most austere rule of St. Francis?
Forgive me, Father. I did not stop to think, Father Angelo.
Well, now, that is precisely what we're going to do. Stop to think. Will you think along with me for a bit, huh?
Yes, Father.
Well, then, now you wipe your eyes.
Yes, Father.
Good. Now, old friends as we are, I have known you since you joined the Third Order, have I not?
Yes, Father, that is when we first met.
And I seem to remember some talks we had then. You had some thought of leaving the world at that time, did you not?
Yes.
And it was I who dissuaded you, was it not?
Yes, Father.
Well, did I do wrong? Should I have encouraged your leaning toward the solitary life?
No.
And still you were quite unhappy at the time that I did not agree with you,
Yes.
As you are unhappy now that I don't seem to sympathize. Well, let us think a little more about what happened next. A few years later, you went into service with the Monleones.
3 years later, when I was 19.
And you seemed quite happy about that, as I recall.
I was, but...
You said at the time, the hands are made for work and the heart for God.
Did I say that?
Oh, indeed you did. I remember wishing I had said it.
I liked working for the Monleones. I liked taking care of Signor Monleone. But, oh, Father Angelo, now he's gone and there's no one to care for. No one who needs me.
And the desire returns to leave the world, huh?
Yes, Father, yes. More than ever, yes.
How old are you, Benedetto?
26, Father. Why?
And how long did you care for Signor Monleone?
7 years, Father.
He was an invalid, I believe. His wife tells me you tended him like a baby. Now, you let an old Capuchin friar tell you something. When a young woman has such a responsibility, when she gives so much of herself to another, not just her time and her labor, but her concern, her constant preoccupation, when that object of her compassion is taken away from her, it can be very much like losing a child. Suddenly, no one to serve, no one to feed, no one to care for. And you are very close to feeling useless.
Perhaps, but...
Well, it is something to think about now, is it not?
Yes, Father.
Not just for you to think about, but for me to think about, too. Before we go banging at the doors of some convent to gain you admission, I think we should make sure, make quite sure, that it is what God would have you do. Do you agree?
Yes, Father.
But not with your whole heart, huh? Only to please me,
Yes, Father.
Well, then, to humor an old Capuchin friar, you go back to the Monleones for the time being and come and see me again in a few days. Tears again? More tears? Whatever am I to do with you, Benedetta? This is so unlike you, my dear. You've never been one to weep your life away. Tell me, have you been crying like this since I saw you 3 days ago?
No, Father.
Well, now that's good. Tell me, what have you been doing?
Praying, Father. To God, to St. Francis, to St. Clair.
And your prayers have brought you new tears?
Because they've not been answered, Father.
Oh, prayers are always answered, Benedetta, you know that.
Not mine, Father, not mine.
Oh, yes, yours, everyone's. Perhaps not right away. Perhaps not at the moment or in the manner we have set our hearts on. But in God's time and in God's way, they are answered. Now, tell me, for what did you pray?
I prayed for St. Francis to speak to me, or that St. Clair might appear to me as in a vision, that she might smile at me and bless me and tell me what to do.
And none of these things happened? St. Francis did not speak to you? St. Clair did not appear in a vision and smile at you?
I know I'm not worthy, but, oh, Father, I prayed so hard. But
Benedetta, it has nothing at all to do with whether or not you are worthy. Signs, visions, heavenly voices... Well, they are holy things, to be sure, but they do not come to us simply because we beckon to them.
What if they do not come at all?
Well, it does not mean that God has forgotten us. It does not mean that he will not speak to us in a different way. Now, do you understand?
I'll try to understand.
Good.
Father.
Now, I have spoken to Signora Monleone since I saw you last. She is very fond of you, Benedetta.
I'm devoted to the Signora, Father.
She says that you will have a home with her for as long as you live. If you so choose.
The Signor is very kind.
And it will always be a good home. I think you know that.
I do know that.
Well, then...
But it is not what I choose, Father Angelo. I choose to become a nun.
That is what I told the Signora.
Oh, Father Angelo, I've been reading the story of St. Clair's life. It's such a wonderful story.
Oh, indeed it is.
St. Francis was her hero from the time she was about 15, you know?
Yes, yes, I know.
But it wasn't until she was 19 that she left the world. On April the 18th, 1212, on Palm Sunday.
Benedetta,
at church, when everyone else went up to the altar to receive their palms. She stayed where she was, kneeling and trembling all over. And the bishop came down to her and put the blessed palm into her hand.
Benedetta, now...
And that very same night, Father, she left her father's house and met her aunt. And they went through the streets of Assisi, and the brothers Minor came to meet her and took her to the church of St. Mary of the Angels. And there, St. Francis himself cut off her hair and dressed her in the habit of the order. And then he took her to the Benedictine convent at Bastia and asked the nuns if she might stay with them until he could find proper place for her. And they did.
Benedetta, now listen.
And her family was very angry. And they came after her, and she took refuge in the church. And when they tried to drag her away, she uncovered her head, and they saw how it was shorn. And she clung to the altar and told them that she belonged to God forever. And then she went to the convent of San Angelo. And there her sister Agnes joined her. And nothing her family did or said could persuade either of them to leave. And then, oh, then after a year, the Benedictines of Mount Subasio gave her San Damiano, gave her the church and the little house that went with it. And that is how the Second Order of the Poor Clares was started.
Benedetta, all that happened 600 years ago.
I know, but...
Did all your reading not tell you that the Lady Clare never wanted to be an enclosed nun? Or did you choose to ignore that part of her story?
She stayed at San Damiano all the rest of her life.
Yes, but if she could have had her way, she would have followed St. Francis wherever he went. Sharing his work side by side, traveling the countryside... There are other ways to serve God than to shut oneself behind walls. And perhaps one of the other ways is the best way for you. Now you think about that. Meditate what we've talked about. And then come back. We shall talk again. Oh, Benedetta, come in, come in.
Oh, I did not know you had a visitor, Father Angelo. I can come back some other time.
No, not at all. I want you to meet Monsignore Di Mari.
Your Reverence.
This is Benedetta Rosello of our village.
Benedetta.
Monsignore Di Mari is bishop in Savona.
Have you ever visited Savona, Benedetta?
Oh, no, Your Reverence. I have lived in Albisola all my life.
Savona is, of course, a much larger place than Albisola.
His Reverence and I were talking just now of the dangers that beset the young girls in Savona. Not that our girls in Albisola are free of temptation.
But in a place like Savona, you've no conception what such a city does to the characters of young girls. The situation has gotten quite out of hand, Father Angelo. I'm quite unable to cope with it.
I can imagine you need help, Your Reverence.
But these days... what can we do? There are too few of us on God's side, I'm afraid.
Oh, I think one should never say that. Oh, forgive me, Your Reverence.
Oh, go on. I'm interested.
Oh, St. Clair started the Second Order with only four other women. But Father Angelo doesn't want to hear all that again.
Well, I fancy the Monsignore knows all about St. Clair.
I should like to hear about you, Signorina. You say you have lived all your life in Albisola.
Yes, Your Reverence.
It is a lovely little village, the little I've seen of it. I should like to come back and visit here again someday.
Oh, please do, Your Reverence.
Albisola. The name is familiar. I've heard it somewhere in some connection or other. I can't think where. Well, Signorina, tell me of yourself. What are your plans?
I wish to become a nun, Your Reverence.
Oh, do you? That seems a splendid ambition for a young girl, if she is suited to such a life.
I pray that I am, Your Reverence.
One is suited or one is not. One can't make oneself over with prayer or with anything else. Prayer can only help us examine whether or not we are suited.
Yes, Your Reverence.
Come and see me sometime, will you, Benedetta, if you can manage the trip to Savona, Or perhaps next time I come to Albisola.
Oh, yes, Your Reverence, if I may.
Of course you may. I invite you.
Oh, thank you, Your Reverence.
Albisola. Ah, now I remember where I've heard the name. They tell a story in Savona, a charming story, and I believe it to be true.
And what is the story, Monsignore?
It is supposed to have happened about 16 or 17 years ago. It seems the people of Albisola organized a pilgrimage to the shrine of Our Lady of Pity in Savona. Oh, you know the shrine, Father Angelo.
Oh, yes.
All the children were left here in Albisola because it was thought it would be a long trip for them.
Yes, indeed it was.
But there was one child among them who could not bear to sit by and let the pilgrimage go unnoticed altogether. So, what do you think this child did, Signorina?
I don't know, Your Reverence.
But can you guess?
Oh,
You tell us, Your Reverence.
Well, this very enterprising little girl... Did I mention that this was a little girl? Well, it was. A little girl, and only 9 years old. And she set out to organize a pilgrimage of her own among the children of Albisola.
No.
Yes. She tied a white apron to a broomstick, and she marched at the head of this column of children to the little local sanctuary of Our Lady of Pity in Albisola. And when they had prayed at the shrine, the children started for home, led by this little girl, only 9 years old. And they sang hymns at the top of their little voices, and so loudly, and so clearly, and so exuberantly did they sing, that the sacristan at the church thought it was their elders returning from Savona, and he ordered the bells to be rung. And so it was that the children of Albisola returned to the village to the sound of bells. Holy bells, ringing out to the glory of God and the sanctity of their pilgrimage.
What a wonderful story.
Yes, isn't it? They've never told me in Savona who the little girl was who organized the pilgrimage, though they seem to know quite a bit about her. They say she was very lively and intelligent. A little leader is what they say she was. A born leader.
Well, she would have to be to get all the other children to follow her.
And certainly she had a great spirit. I should like to have known her.
I too. Wouldn't you, Benedetta?
What did you say, Father?
Wouldn't you like to have known the little girl who organized the pilgrimage? Or perhaps you did know her.
Sounds the sort I'd like to see doing the Lord's work in Savona. That is, if she exists, or ever did exist. Possibly the whole thing is just a fiction.
Yes, these stories start and people embroider them.
But still, it's a pretty story.
It's not just a story.
Oh, no? Oh, you mean it happened?
Yes, it happened.
Oh, you were here?
Yes.
You went on the pilgrimage with the others?
Well, yes, I...
Well, tell me, who was the little girl who organized the pilgrimage?
It was I, Your Reverence.
You?
Oh, don't think I tell you this to... But you wanted to know.
But I'm so delighted to know the story's true. I'm proud to know such a splendid soldier for Christ.
Oh, really, I did not mean... Oh, I shouldn't have... Father, please excuse me. I'll come back tomorrow.
You told the story well, Monsignore Di Mari.
I told it precisely as you told it to me, Father Angelo.
Thank you, Monsignore. I hope it has an effect.
This young woman, so full of life and energy and imagination, vigor, she wishes to become a solitary.
She's been refused by one convent because she has no money for a dowry, and she's quite heartbroken. I've been hoping that she'd see that another, more active kind of life would be better for her. But if she persists, I'll simply have to tell her.
Well, tell her what, Father Angelo?
I've practiced a deception, Your Reverence. You see, there is money for her dowry if she wishes to enter a convent. Signora Monleone, whose husband Benedetta nursed these past 7 years, is quite devoted to her. And she told me this morning that she would be very happy to pay Benedetta's dowry.
I see.
I was going to tell her...
But you couldn't tell her I was here and you had no opportunity.
Well, yes, Your Reverence, that is somewhat true.
I hope, Father, that you will never have to tell her.
So do I, Your Reverence. Oh, so do I. Benedetta, I looked for you yesterday and the day before and the day before that.
I've been to Savona, Father, to see Monsignore Di Mari.
You You've been to see the bishop?
You know, the day I met him here with you, he said I might come to see him.
Yes, I remember.
Well, I got to thinking. Somehow it came to me that God would not want me to shut myself away from the world.
It came to you? How?
Oh, not in a vision, Father. It wasn't a heavenly voice or anything like that. Perhaps I'm just too ordinary a person, Father, to see visions or hear voices.
Oh, I do not consider you in the least ordinary.
Well, anyway, all of a sudden, I just knew that I wasn't meant to be a cloistered nun. I can't explain it. I just knew. And that's when I decided to go to Savona to see the bishop. And Signora Monleone loaned me the money for the trip.
Did she really?
Oh, she's very generous, Father.
Yes, that's true. She is generous.
So I went to Savona, and I saw Monsignore de Mari. Oh, he is kind, Father, and wise. And I asked him if I could not work in Savona, you know, to assist and instruct the young girls there and try to do something to set their lives straight. And, oh, Father, he said that I could. Oh,
Benedetta, I'm so glad. And so glad to see you looking so happy.
Oh, I am happy, Father. But that's not all.
No?
I won't be alone in this venture, Father. Since I've been back in Albisola, I've found three others. My cousins Angela and Domenica, you know them.
Oh, yes, they're good girls.
And Father Angelo, Monsignore de Mari has found us a house. It's not a very grand house, but it's a house of our own, called the Commenda.
Benedetta, such excitement, such enthusiasm.
Oh, we don't have much to start with, Father. A very little furniture, and each of us has a straw mattress, and Pauline is bringing a sack of potatoes, and we have a crucifix and a statue of Our Lady. That's all we have right now, Father, but we will work hard.
The hands are made for work, and the heart for God. Those are your own words, Benedetta.
Oh, I believe them, Father. And you were right. God did speak to me in a particular way. When I saw that all my life, my great joy had come from being active in God's behalf, active and working with other people. Ever since the children's pilgrimage to the shrine of Our Lady of Pity, when I understood that, I knew that God had told me to go to work in the world, not out of it. He had told me just as surely as though I had heard the voice of St. Francis himself.
Show me your cloister, asks the Lady Poverty of the friars, and they, leading her to the summit of a hill, showed her the whole wide world, saying, "This is our cloister, O Lady Poverty." In October of that same year, 1837, the tiny congregation was inaugurated. They called themselves the Daughters of Our Lady of Pity, and Benedetta took the name Mary Josepha. All did not go smoothly at all times within the congregation. One day, Sister Mary Josepha had a visitor.
Mother Josepha, how happy I am to see you.
Signora Monleone. Oh, what brings you to Savona?
I would have come to see you before this, but I am an old woman, and I did not learn until last week of your difficulties.
Difficulties, Signora?
Oh, come now, Mother Josepha. I know you need money. You need it badly. Come, Josepha. Is it not so?
Oh, there's such a lot to be done. And at the moment, not even 50 lira to spare.
Well, now, I've written you a check. Here, my dear, take it.
Oh, Signora.
It'll keep you going for a while, I think.
Oh, a good while. Oh, I'm so grateful, Signora.
Oh, nonsense. I'm only put out that you didn't come straight to me and ask me for it. There was never anything I wouldn't do for you, Benedetta. How that name takes me back. Remember? In Albisola?
I remember.
I even offered to pay your dowry at the convent when you wanted to shut yourself away from everyone and everything. Thank the Lord it wasn't necessary.
You offered to pay the dowry?
Well, didn't Father Angelo ever tell you? Mahadi, how wicked of him.
Yes, how wicked of him. And how wise.
Yes, wise. Yes, how very wise.
The congregation spread throughout Italy and even to America when a company of the Daughters of Our Lady of Pity left for Buenos Aires in Argentina. During the lifetime of Mother Josepha, the first little house in Savona became the mother house of 68 affiliations.
Show me your cloister, the Lady Poverty asked us, and we showed her the wide world, saying, this is our cloister.